Hello, hello, folks. Good to see you this morning. A couple of little technical difficulties. It's the old joy of mucking around with the internet and technology. But anyway, we made it. We're here. Good to see a few of you up and at it. Welcome to Wealth Coffee Chats for Wednesday, 6th of March. Wednesday, 6th of March. Kevin's there. Hope you had a good birthday the other day. Kevin, I hope everything went well, mate. Morning, Facebook user, wherever you are, whoever you are, probably behind the Facebook group Veil. Great to have you here. Well, things are warming up, folks. Let's do the do. Morning, James. How are you? Good to see you. For those who might be new, welcome. Jason Witten's my name. Most of you know that, as I say often. But if you don't, if you're new, say hello. It'd be great to hear from you. Where are you? What are you up to? Let us know. Get a little bit of banter going in the chat. It's always a bit of fun. If you're in our coaching or mentoring program where you've joined for support, building and growing your property wealth and your portfolio, well, awesome. Well done. Welcome. Fantastic to have you here. A few regulars here and then a few part-timers, but great to see whoever's here today. Thanks for joining. Chris is there as well. As we go along, hey, what are we going to talk about today? There's Bradley. Yeah. And Luke as well. We're going to catch up soon, aren't we? Brad, Bryce is there too. Adrian's in the house. A lot of people in today, which is brilliant. So good morning, everyone. Great to see you. Fantastic to have you here. Hey, wanted to talk to you about a little bit of something, this morning, highest vacancy. So the highest vacancy, not the lowest, highest vacancy. What do you think this might be, folks? Does anyone know? Does anyone keep an eye on this stuff? Highest vacancy rates since 1996. Hey, good morning. Good morning, Jace. Good to see you. Highest vacancy rates since 1996. What do you guys think this might be? And one of the reasons why I'm not a big fan, not a massive fan of this type of property for most property investors. And I'll talk to you about why that might be in a minute. But what do you think, team? What type of property do you think I'm talking about when I'm saying, hey, highest vacancy since 1996? Anyone might know. Anyone chuck it in the chat if you think you might know. Yep, you're dead right, Chris, commercial. And listen. Commercial is not just one whole thing. Unlike residential, folks, where apartments and houses, you could probably split up, but unlike residential, commercial has a few versions of the world. However, right now, commercial, certainly CBD, CBD retail, CBD office has some challenges, and you might imagine that that might give a little bit of uncertainty to certain investors. But for me, for you, for us as property investors, I'm not a fan at all of commercial property for most property investors. Now, why do you say that? I'm going to talk about that in a minute. There's a caveat, there's a asterisk, there's a but. In that conversation, I'm certainly a fan of business owners owning and renting from themselves their own commercial property. There's some excellent value in that. However, commercial property carries some risk that for my experience sitting down with thousands and thousands of property investors across Australia and New Zealand, you know, we've helped people buy over 10,000 properties, folks, around Australia and New Zealand. You know, commercial property, retail property has some challenges for those who want something simple as an investment strategy rather than something a bit more complex. So let me talk about that this morning, and let me talk in context. Let's lay out a bit of context here of what I call an income engine. And, you know, the idea that we might spread our style of investing around with residential property. We might have some commercial property. I put it there as part of what I would call an income engine. We might have some trading property, and I'm going to talk about that as well. And then we might have some, you know, development property. And this is kind of like, if you think about the four pieces of the pie, above is, you know, holding, and below is, you know, trading or, you know, buy and sell type of thing. Buy and hold, and buy and sell. Now, I'm not a massive fan of buy and sell as a strategy for being an investor. You guys know the drill. I prefer my investors to buy really good property and hold them. All right. That's my preference. So residential real estate. Well, why do I like residential? You know, you can borrow your loan to value ratios in residential and chuck it up there. You know, get involved in the chat. You know, what's the return? What borrowing, what leverage can you get, folks, in residential real estate? Resi real estate. Let's undo that. You know, what's the loan to value ratio for most of us as property investors, you know, and owner occupiers? You know, some of us can get up to, folks, you know, 95% leverage, which means your money goes further. You get exposure to the market fairly simply, you know, very easily 80%, Luke, for sure. But for most investors, it's between, you know, 80% and 90%, very easy, very simple. And you guys know a sweet spot, right? When it comes to lenders' mortgage insurance and borrowing the right number, what's the sweet spot in borrowing from a cost benefit value point of view when it comes to loan to value ratio? If you don't already know, at the moment, talk to your mortgage specialist, your lending specialist, but the sweet spot's 88%. When you go to 90%, when you go to 90%, it kicks into more lenders' mortgage insurance, that last 2%, and it's kind of not worth it. But anyway, that's some little tidbits there. Anyway, residential real estate, you know, you're aiming for a sort of a 5% consistent rental return. You get 30-year mortgages. You can do interest only. You can do P&I. And what's the vacancy rate right now in residential real estate land, folks? It is pretty low across the nation, across the whole country. It's 0.08%. So that's less than 1% in the world of residential. Now, that's why I like residential. It's simple. It's easy. The time frame of vacancy, you know, can be weeks, you know, 1 or 2 weeks, not, we'll talk about that in a minute. Commercial fits for the right person, but I'm not a fan of it for most investors. Most people who don't have more than 5 or 6 investment properties, if you don't have more than $3 or $4 million worth of residential real estate as your base wealth line, I'm not a fan of commercial. Unless you're a seriously active, let's call it full-time investor, then maybe commercial fit, but that's not most of my clients. So this is why I don't like it. I get questions all the time. Oh, should I get commercial? Well, you know, why do people like the idea of commercial? And there's conversations out there that, you know, you can get commercial rent 7 to 10%, which is very true. Very true. Commercial, you know, certain types of commercial, industrial, retail properties, you can get a good income on. What's the downside though? What's the downside? Loan to value ratio, LVR. Folks, tell me, loan to value ratio in commercial real estate and with no other security, right? Stand alone, by the way. Now, this is the thing where, you know, a bunch of lenders will, yeah, perfect, Luke. In your super is actually not a bad place to own it, actually. The loan to value ratio of commercial property, what's the general gist, folks? What's the general gist? Now, for most people, for most, you're looking at 70%, okay? 70%, maybe 80% for an owner-occupier, but you're looking at about 70% loan to valuation. What does that mean? Well, let's just do this quickly because it makes sense. $1 million property here, if you have to put, let's call it 15% into $1 million property for residential, that's 150K, okay? And why I'm doing 15%, that's 10% for deposit and 5% for costs, okay? And that's just very simple math. It might be a bit more. It might be a bit less, but let's just do that. Let's buy $1 million commercial property. You know, let's say you got to put in 30% deposit. Now that's 300K. Plus you got to put in some costs, which is another 5% in there. That makes it 350K. So the difference to buy the same real estate, folks, is a lot of cash. A lot of cash, 200 grand. You know what? The same money, arguably, you could buy $2 million worth of residential real estate, $2 million for the number of buying $1 million. All right. Now, again, I'm not a fan of this for most property investors. Why? Because of these things. You don't get as much bang for your buck. And I'm telling you right now, you know, 7 to 10% will not make up at all anywhere near the actual long-term dollar value of the capital growth of $2 million worth of residential real estate compared to $1 million worth of commercial real estate and some high rents. Now, that's my version of the world. Can people make it work? Absolutely they can. Does commercial work? Yes, it does. I own property. I own commercial property in my self-managed super fund, just like Luke. However, in your super, it's actually not a bad place to own it. There's more cash. You borrow less, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the drill, folks. That's where I'm at. Now, trading property and developing property, not going to talk about those today. But, you know, you might be down here in trading land. You're looking at sort of, you know, 10 to 15% cash on cash return. And over here for development stuff, you're looking at 15 to 30% returns. Right. The risk is high. Now, the number one thing in the world of commercial, when it comes to lending with commercial terms, the terms of commercial lending. Don't miss this. Tell me, if you're a business owner, you've got an overdraft, if you've got a commercial loan on a property, what is the one thing that becomes an issue I'm trying not to give it away. In residential land, when you borrow residentially, you are protected by the Credit Code Consumer Protection Act, or CCPA, or whatever it's called, right? Which means, what does that mean? Listen, these loans are for people and houses, hey, banks, lenders, don't be mean to these people. That's what it means. You can't be mean. Now, let me explain what that means, and I'm going to show you how this is playing out in the marketplace right now. This recourse, exactly. When property goes down, when values go down, Chris, there's recourse, right? Absolutely. And not only values, folks, not only values, but when rents go down, and this is the thing. All right, let's talk about this. Anyway, I'm making a bit of a long-winded conversation about this, but the CBD vacancy rate's highest since 1996. You know, shop vacancies jump as we reach market bottom, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a bit going on. You might see this. You go to your local shop area. Yep, dead right, Allison. You know, commercial income affects the valuation of a commercial property. It does, right? And the vacancy timeframes can be massive. Fit out can be massive. Vacancy timeframes can be massive. So here's the drill. Check out this. You know, this is the vacancy rate. It's actually a little bit higher at the moment. You know, 17%. Imagine owning real estate that your vacancy rate was 17%. So let's just do that in months, right? Let's do that in months in the year. So, you know, 12 times 17% equals 2 months vacancy. That's pretty long compared to residential real estate at the moment, which is 0.08, pretty chunky. Not to mention 17% of the stock on the country. Yeah, and I think we'll see a bit of that, actually, Adrian. I think we'll see quite a lot of that coming up in the next 10 years as the world rearranges itself a little bit to sort of understand what's going on. But here's the drill, folks. Here's the drill. This is what is happening. There's a $45 billion funding gap in commercial property. What does that mean? What does that mean? If you read this stuff here, $45 billion in new equity and debt to recapitalize their properties in response to falling values and rising finance costs, folks. So this is the drill. This can happen. This can happen in residential. This can happen in commercial real estate, but it will not happen in residential real estate, folks. It doesn't happen in residential real estate. I found this at Bank of SA. Check this out. A margin call. It's what's called a margin call on the loan. All right. It says here, a margin call occurs when your current loan balance exceeds your borrowing limits plus your buffer. So your loan balance, let's say you contracted at 70% loan-to-value ratio based on certain valuation mechanics, usually done with a capitalization rate, which is your rents times the rent collected times some things equals the value. Let's say the vacancy rates are higher now. Let's say the rent has dropped. What happens to your value, folks? Alison was right when she said it affects when you recalculate your rental income, your value of your property drops. Now your loan-to-value ratio based on the new valuation is not 70% anymore. It's now closer to 85%. And what does the bank want? They want some damn money. They're saying, hey, you need to give me some cash. Right, and this is what it says. For example, if your security value falls, if this occurs, you must take action immediately. And they've even said, here, listen, chuck it in our bank. Oh, there you go. How interesting is that? Well, so, you know, folks, this is why I prefer lending when it comes to residential, the world of residential, and why it seems to me, certainly in the early stages of a property investor's world, that you don't want to be caught up in a margin loan, right? Margin call. Now, as long as you pay that mortgage, as long as you pay the mortgage, folks, you won't get a margin call on residential real estate. You won't. It doesn't happen. Does not happen. If you've heard about it, if you've heard someone get margin called on a piece of residential real estate, folks, let me know. I'd love to hear about that. But in my 10 years, I've not seen a residential lender, a residential loan called in if you've continued to pay the mortgage, irrelevant of the property's value, irrelevant of the property's rent. There you go. Now, we all hope aspire to have our rents and values go up, don't we? That's the point. Maybe they don't. Maybe a short period of time for a few years, like what's going on right now, the commercial property world is working itself out. It would be a disaster if you got your loans called in. You couldn't recapitalize. You couldn't borrow against the property because it doesn't have value. And then what happens? What happens? You're forced to sell. And do you sell it at a price that you bought it for? No, you dust dough, you know. Anyway, so you get the point. I don't want to labor on it, but the point for me is that that's why I don't like commercial property investing for most people. Certainly if you're a business owner and you can owner occupy that thing or in your super, I own property in my super, commercial property in my super, which I rent for myself, by the way. there you go. Anyway, it makes sense. Hopefully that was of use or interest this morning. I thought it was something that was worth talking about because I do hear a little bit of rhetoric around the traps as we roll along. So there you go, folks. Wealth Coffee Chat done and dusted for today. Now listen, March. So on Friday, I'm not going to be around. I'm doing something with the crew up in Brisbane. So I'll probably miss the Wealth Coffee Chats that morning. But tomorrow we'll be around. Just checking my calendar then, just making sure. Join me tomorrow for another one, folks. There you go. Done and dusted for today. Thanks for joining. Great to have you here, folks. Good to see you. Until next time, you guys know the drill. Remember, this thing's a marathon, not a sprint. Takes time. Buy something good. Keep the damn thing. All right. That's it, folks. I'm done. Adios. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.